revolution in Russia didn't solve Germany's problems. The Bolsheviks, as we will see when we talk about the Russian Revolution, the Bolsheviks were convinced that revolution in Russia would not work if it occurred in isolation. The real goal was world revolution, and world revolution was supposed to begin, as everyone understood, in Germany. So revolutionizing Germany was one of the main goals of the Bolsheviks. So it was not possible for the Germans to move troops, as many troops as they wanted, back from the Eastern Front to the West. They had to stay to maintain order in the East. Adding to Germany's problems, of course, was the entry of the United States into the war. In January 1917, the Germans had resumed what was called unrestricted submarine warfare. And in April, the United States had at last entered the war. Woodrow Wilson, who had been reelected president because, as his slogan went, he kept us out of the war, now led the United States into the great conflict. The American arrival in Europe was extremely important to the Entente cause. Extremely important, not immediately because of its military benefit, but because of the much-needed shot in the arm for Allied morale, for British and particularly French morale in 1917. Just at that point, when French resolve seemed to be weakening, when there were reports of mutinies within certain units of the French army, the arrival of American troops, full of idealism, full of elan, determined to get to the front and fight, gave a much-needed boost to French morale. If 1917, then, was not a year of unequivocal resolution, 1918 would be the year of decision. In March, the Germans, having signed the Treaty of Brest-Litovsk, launched what was to be their last great offensive in the West. It was time to hit the weary English and French before the entry of American troops in the war could be decisive, and the offensive gained ground and inflicted terrible casualties on the Allies. But as all the German offensives between 1914 and 1918 had done, it was halted short of a major breakthrough. And in July, buoyed now by the presence of the Americans, the Entente powers mounted their own gigantic counteroffensive. And by August, German lines had begun to crumble. The German policy of bleeding France white might have been successful, but Germany was not dealing with an unlimited source of manpower either, and German casualties had been horrific. By September, the situation for Germany was perilous. Although Germany still remained deep inside France, all of Belgium was still occupied by the Germans, the German high command turned to the civilian representatives of the German government, men who had not really made policy throughout the war. This had been the preserve of the high command, and insisted that an armistice had to be reached, and reached immediately. That at any day, the high command suggested, at some point along the front, the Allies would break through, and then indeed, they would come bursting through the front, and there would be nothing to stop them before they reached Berlin. An immediate armistice was therefore necessary. In this perilous situation, Germany sent word that it would be willing to negotiate on the basis of Woodrow Wilson's 14 points. In January of 1918, Woodrow Wilson, in addressing a joint session of Congress, had laid out the so-called 14 points, freedom of the seas, freedom of trade, and so on. A number of idealistic notions embedded in which was the idea of a United Nations, a League of Nations, as he called it, to prevent a recurrence of this awful war. The Germans realized that they were not going to be able to get much of a response from London or Paris, who would have insisted on some form of unconditional surrender, but they hoped that Wilson and the Americans would be more tractable. Wilson, however, refused to enter into negotiations with the Germans on the basis of his own 14 points or any others, and in November, revolutionary violence broke out in Germany. The Kaiser abdicated, a republic was declared, And on November 8th, 1918, a German delegation indicated a willingness to sign an armistice. On November 11th, 1918, General Foch, the high commander of the Allied forces in France, met with representatives of the German Armistice Committee in a small railroad car in the forest of Compiègne, north of Paris. Germany signed the armistice that would bring the Great War to a close. The war that was intended to be over by Christmas of 1914 had come at last to a merciful close. The war was over, but Europe would never be the same. The Hohenzollerns were gone. The Habsburgs and their empire had collapsed. The Romanovs would not survive the war. Revolution seemed ready to sweep a disillusioned and exhausted continent. In human terms, the losses of the war were absolutely ghastly, beyond the imagination of the worst pessimist in Europe. 8.5 million dead, 17 million wounded, 6.5 million casualties in Germany. 63% of all Germans who entered military service were casualties during the war. 5.5 million casualties in France, with less than two-thirds the population of Germany. 71% of all French troops that went into combat suffered casualties. 9.1 million Russian casualties. And, as we will see, for millions more, the war would continue. Some would never be able to demobilize psychologically. The war that would make the world safe for democracy had produced a war that was infinitely more dangerous, more radical. The old Europe was gone. What would take its place? In the aftermath of this great bloodletting, the European powers gathered in Versailles in 1919 to try to shape a new world.